Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. Let us thank God today. It's a wonderful day to be here. My first time to preach. Well, it's a privilege and honor to stand before you. I thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, without whom I wouldn't be here. I think I was born for a day like this, and excuse me, there's a fast, there's always a fast for everything, isn't it? So to God be the glory. So I want to thank you for coming, and as you listen, may the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God, deal with you. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the, you know, abiding presence of God, the third Trinity, you know, God the Father, God the Son. And I love him. He loved me before I was born. He knew me before I knew, my mother knew me before my father knew me. And that's why I give him praise. Just before we go, I want to usher the presence of God. And Doreen will help me sing with the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome him. Let's thank him. I think without him, you know, the Bible says that Jesus came to the earth, and when he left us somebody. It's a privilege to know that you have somebody to lean on, to comfort you. Praise God.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory, God, is what a heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, your
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are
come flood this place.
Let us become
more aware of your presence.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. God bless you. I'll begin by thanking the pastor of the church for giving me the honor and the privilege to stand before you. The ministers, thank you very much. You saw something in me, and God bless you for that. We are going to start by reading the book of John. John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. And it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will testify. He testifies of Jesus. This was Jesus reassuring his disciples that though he was going away, he was not leaving them empty. They will soon have somebody to help them. The Bible continues to say that they will be rejected by fellow men, but there was hope because there was somebody to help them. So the Holy Spirit helps us as well as individuals, and we can only get that by being born again. The first encounter we should have with God is the Holy Spirit is when we give our lives to Christ. We give our lives to Christ. We surrender to him and tell him, "Holy Spirit, come and take control." He likes to take control. You cannot move him. You cannot decide that today I want to do this and today I want the other. You have to live a life of surrender. And if you surrender to him, he will show you things. You know, he will help you in difficult situations. That's what he desires of us. And then the Bible says that he's a giver of fruits. In the Bible, in the book of Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." You know, when people, gentleness, self-control, against this, there is no law. That means when a person is born again, we tend to see these fruits being manifested. If somebody was maybe had anger issues, the Holy Spirit steps in and changes the person. So let us walk in the Spirit. We can only do through the fruits of the Spirit. He's the only one that can help us. Without him, as I said, there is no hope. So that's good to know that when we give our lives to Christ, he's able to change us. You and I cannot change ourselves. And then in the book of John 16, 14, it says the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ by revealing Jesus as the Messiah, and therefore knowing him more. So he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot know God. You know, we can only know God through what people tell us. But that personal, in-depth knowing of God can only be through the Holy Spirit of God. And that is when, again, as I said, if you have connection, you cannot, you know, if you are not born again, if you are not fully walking in him or with him, and he's the one that will, you know, he convicts as well. You know, when you're in sin, I'll give you a testimony of my own self. Before I was born again, I think I suffered under the hands of born again Christians. So my desire was that I had an agreement with God that just before I die, that he will allow me to give my life to him so that I would make it to heaven. But you know, every time I would attend church and there'll be an altar call, I would pray that at least there'll be somebody, so that somebody would come out and the person would hurry up so that I would not need to give my life to Christ. But when my time came, it didn't matter what I was doing. I was hiding back. I was doing catering business at the back of the church. I don't know, but my legs took me to the front and I accepted Christ. So that is the Holy Spirit. That's how he does it. So if he's interested in you, if he's concerned with you, or he knows that you are created for the purpose, for that purpose to serve him, regardless of how far you hide. We know people that have give testimonies of being addicted into alcohol and all sorts. Their lives was gone. But the Holy Spirit comes in, changes the person inside out, and the persons begin to move in ways and do things that only God can, you know, help a person to do. So we can thank God for that. According to the book of First Corinthians chapter 12, He said the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. And I want to ask every one of us, what are you doing with what God has given you? I read a story of a lady called Teresa. She's a Kenyan lady, Teresa Wairimu. And this lady was married to a Swedish man, and he went through a lot of problems with the guy. They divorced, and the guy took away the boy, her only son. And he decided she would never see the boy again. And through it all, God decided, after the incident, she joined up with four other people, so there were five in all. And they began to see God every time they would have prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit decided, told the lady that he was going to visit her. And he gave her the time, the day, but not the time. So she went and shared this story with her four friends. And they began to, they too wanted to go on the journey. And so they met in this Teresa's house. Every evening, they would take off their shoes outside. And because they said that, you know, when God visited Moses, Moses had to take off his shoes because where he was stepping was holy. So they would take off their shoes, they would pray. And on the day that they were going on the journey, one of the ladies called Jane was late to go. And as she was walking, she met a man that was married to one of the five people that in the prayer group. Her name was Miriam. And Miriam's husband was not born again. And he started telling Jane, tell that wife of mine to come home and cook. And then Jane was wondering, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. How can this man be eating food at this time? And so he hurried. The more he hurried, the more the man followed him. And she decided that when I get there, before we start praying, before we go where we are going, I'm going to tell them what this man is saying. But when she got there, she found everybody was deep in prayer, so she kept quiet. And exactly at 9 o'clock, everybody was taken on the journey. Jane was left, but she could see everybody as they were going. And the first step they went was a mountain or a hill that they had to climb. And one of the ladies, among the five, one of the other ladies, we'll call her Mary. As Mary was climbing, she had people shouting behind her. You know, in Africa, we have taxis. And what the taxis want to fill people in their car, they bang the side and they say, in Kenya, we say, 20, 20, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. So she had that and she turned back. She never got to climb the hill. And Miriam, whose husband was not born again, made it to the hill. Plus, now the Teresa and the other man, when they got there, they all got gifts. Now, Miriam got her own, a miniature small umbrella, and she started playing with it. Up and opening it, and it broke. The other two, now Teresa got her own gift. It was a box. And the Holy Spirit told her, treasure this. And they now all came back. And Jane, despite the discouragement, she was like, why did I not go? But she thanked God back because she was able to see everybody as they did. Now, the lady that never climbed up the hill went to a business, you know, selling things, getting things from our neighbor is Uganda, getting clothes, secondhand clothes. And that is how her life ended. She backslid, and that's how her life ended. The other one, Miriam, that played with her own umbrella, she got back. Backslid, became a prostitute, and died in prostitution. I think she died of AIDS. Now, it was left Jane, the guy, and Teresa. They are serving God. So I'm asking you, when you got born again, if you are born again, God gave you a gift. What are you doing with what God gave you? Are you playing with your own miniature thing? Or do you think your own is smaller than somebody else's? You know, we all go to Festival of Life. One thing that amazes me is that our daddy Gio is humble. I mean, this man will sit on a chair, and a woman will testify that when I sat on that chair, my barrenness of how many years was broken, and I gave birth. He didn't need to touch. You know, it tells us in the book of Acts that in those days, handkerchiefs that are touched, is it Peter or Paul, healed the sick. What are you doing with what God has given you? Is it just salvation? You know, I tell my children that when you get born again, you are running to, your goal is towards a pass. Apostles is where I tell them that I'm born again, my children, I'm born again, I'm happy, I'm headed to heaven. It doesn't matter what my neighbor or everybody else is doing. I'm happy, I'm born again, my family is born again, all is well. And then there's people that are fighting to answer Mary. Okay, you're born again, you preach you to your workmates, you're preaching, all is well, you're preaching, people are being born again. And then there's a distinction. These are the apostles. They died painful death. We know people that are in Iraq and so many Arabic countries that are dying. Why? Because of the gospel of Christ. Today I want to ask you, this race that we are going, we'll get to heaven. What will you tell your God? That this is what you gave me. You know, the present you have, you gave me. What am I doing with it? I'll give you a small incident that happened to me. It was, I think, 7 years ago. We were in a hostel. And it was bad. You know, we were in a two-bedroom. You know, when the people downstairs turned, you could hear them. And God had told me he was going to visit me, and I waited. So every day I would say, God, I'm ready, I'm ready. So one morning, I had started waking up at 5 and praising God. And sure enough, he visited. I was kneeling, I was on my knees, and I had somebody come through the door. I didn't hear footstep, but I knew there was a something coming. I could feel the whole room changed, and I began to shake. And as it came, I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you demons. You know, we are told to bind demons. And I heard a voice, you cannot bind God. And I thought to myself, if I open my eyes and look, I'll die. So I shut my eyes as much as I could. And the presence was like, God, I'm not ready for this. I had the person behind me, so he moved to my side. And I said, and I thought, oh God, if I miss this chance, my own is gone. And I waited. And we waited, and I said, I'm ready. And after the incident, I got into my bed. The person went to the room, got back to normal. I went back to bed, told nobody because I thought they would think I was mad, covered myself so much so that I wouldn't see. And in the morning, I woke up. When I was reading my Bible, it's like the information was coming out and coming to me. I said, God, I'm not ready for this one. I'm a mother of fowl. I had for them. I'm not ready for, and God respected me. But the following day, what happened was, I decided I'm not going to stay in that house again in case he comes again. So I ran. The place I went, I visited somebody. That lady was a Catholic by the time I had seen her a few years back, and now she was in a ministry. And she said, the first thing she said to me was, "Ah, Patricia, I've been wanting to receive the gift of tongues. Can you pray with me?" I said, "Now, I'll try." We prayed, she received. I said, I'll not visit her again. By the time I visited her, she's a pastor's wife. Her prayer life has gone high. That evening, my sister-in-law now came from Milton Keynes. She said, before I go, she calls me Mama George. I want you to pray for me for times. I said, I've been through this one. We prayed. And, you know, she went. Her prayer life took off. And I looked at myself. I thought, after years, my own. If they come to church, I'm still the sanctuary keeper since then. What have I done with my life? What is going on? But I thank God for their lives. We visited Africa 3 years ago, and my sister-in-law came with us. 2 o'clock, her alarm would go, and she would pray. My friend, she would pray. She doesn't pray, you know, softly. She would, you know, the whole house would know she was, and she would be binding, praying. So I had peace. Until she left for just 1 week, I experienced it. I had fear, you know. So that is what the Holy Spirit did in her. But for me, I said, wait, I wasn't ready. They were ready. So I don't want you, why am I telling you this? I don't want anybody to make the same mistake. When the Holy Spirit is ready, move with it. As Daddy Gio says, that it's a river. Once you meet it, it's gone. You know, once you miss putting your bucket out, it's gone. We know people that, you know, somebody is not in charge. You know they are not in charge. You know, there are people that they have that presence of God in them. That you know that, oh my God, that person. When I got born again, there was a lady I used to envy. She was a single mother. When she prayed, she gave it all. And I said to God, when I get born again, I want to be like that lady. But when I got born again, when I knew she was pregnant out of wedlock and everything, but God used her regardless. You know, I thank God. I prayed for the marriage. It didn't work out, but thank God she was there. because of what she was doing, it made me love God. So that is what about the gifts of the Spirit. I don't know what, I know, maybe my gifts, wow, that is scary. I don't know which one they are, but maybe today we'll get to know them. But by God's grace, I know I'll fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. So again, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Holy Spirit gives power to witness so that he can produce proof that Jesus saves or heals. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You know, that is how the, you know, when we know of the story of Peter, of Paul, he persecuted the Christians, and when he was born again, he transformed. He was the one that was doing exploit for God. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, that the children of God were, the disciples were in one accord, as we are here. As they were praying, the earth shook. Tongues of fire. Wouldn't you want that? I pray that we would, that my desire is that, or my prayer is for us today, is that we desire that. That when we pray, the earth will shake and God will do things. Shake the foundations of the earth and God will do things. You know, I had a testimony of Daddy Gio, how they were praying in a hotel room and the ground shook. And the people came to check what was happening. And they came and said, no, the shaking was found in this place, you know, where they were praying. He says that that hotel was shut. And he went back there and prayed. And God was able, and they opened it. Why? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's not a joker. He's a consuming fire. We read it in the book of Kings. When Elijah sent fire on 50 captives, the guy was only going to do the king's business. And the next thing he was like, if I am a man of God, let fire come. And sure enough, fire came. He consumed the first 50, the second 50, until the third one that was like, I know you are a man of God. Please save my life. And God did. So let us know that when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have power. Let us be careful with what we say and what we do. Because your words have life and death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whatever you say have consequences. And you can do things. If only we knew how much power we have. You know, how much, you know. I was doing my exam last week. And is it last week? Yeah, last week. And I prayed, Father God, for everybody that is doing this GCSE exam. Let them pass in Jesus' name. And then my friend came. She said she was now photocopying. And she said, two young people, you know, I'm in college. That means they must be 17, 18. They said they had gone to the Freemasons. They too went to pray. And I thought, imagine, I prayed for them. And here they were. They went to seek power elsewhere. And I went to seek God. You know, my friend got ill. She went home and got really ill because she was sick. She couldn't believe it. She was like, Patricia, how can young children be seeking satanic power? But that's how the world is. Let's pray for our children as they grow, that none of us will look back to the things of the flesh or the things of the world, that will focus on Jesus, the elder and finisher of our faith. The Spirit can show you things, revelation, things to come. He showed Daniel, he showed the children of Israel, you know. And if we rely on him, the thing is, the only problem is like we live in a society of fast food. Fast, everything is fast. So I want to pray today and I want my miracle tomorrow. Meanwhile, God knows that you need it, but at the right time. You know, Matthew is going to be 6 tomorrow. He's been asking for his house key. Mommy, I want my own house key. I know he needs a house key, but not at 5. And then the next day, I think it was yesterday, Daddy, I'm going to be 6. I need my own phone. Who are you going to call? My friends, which of your six-year-old friends have phones? So God, you know, I know, as the Holy Spirit, you know, like a guide, I know he needs a phone, I know he needs a house key, but at the right time, the house key will come, the phone will come, and he will glorify God. I mean, in the next how many years, maybe when 10 years when he's 16, the technology will have moved. Yeah, he'll be 16. She's saying, yeah, he's 6 tomorrow, so 10 years. So technology will have taken off. Okay, in the book of Jeremiah 1 verse 7, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So God is commanding us. Once you are born again, God sends you and commands you. It's not you, you know. Before I came here, mommy told me, it's not me speaking, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Rachel too, and pastor too. You know, because I've been shaking since I came to this church. I asked Sister Rachel, is it too late to change my mind? And she said, no. So it's the Holy Spirit. Today he has commissioned me. I look for a topic. I've been fighting with him for the rest of the whole week. Since I knew this month I've been minister of duty, he has been silent. I say, what am I going to preach on now? What am I going to say? Until I think on Friday, that's when I now had. What led me to talk about the Holy Spirit? I read a testimony. I listened to a testimony of a girl. She was born into a family where her mother rejected her. She didn't know why the mother rejected her. I mean, whenever she would wash dishes, the mother would tell the sister to wash them again, and the sister was younger. Until she found out that she was, you know, when the mother came, she was not born in that homestead, you know. She was born elsewhere, and then the mother came with the child. Meanwhile, the stepfather had no problem with her, but it was the mother. And so one day she decided to move away from home. She went, and she started getting ill. I think she had arthritis. Sorry. And after some time, when she was bedridden, she went home, and she said the mother lay her as she was lying on the bed, she called her mother and said to her, I'm going now. And the mother said, you can't go. I made a covenant with God to see your grandchildren, and I've only seen one. And sure enough, she started dying. She said she could hear the voices of her family screaming, oh, she's dead, until after some time she couldn't hear anything. And then she started hearing a song from far. And the person, she doesn't say whether it was God, the Father, God, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, or the angel that met her. But whoever met her, she asked the person, when am I going to see where the source of this song? But the person, let's say it's the Holy Spirit, said, you are not going. She said, I've been born again. And she was, instead of being taken to heaven, she was shown the lake of fire. She said she couldn't see the end of it. And she was worried. She said, why am I here? And outside, she could see people that had been born again, people she knew. And she was told, yes, you have been born again. And she was told, the reason you can't get into heaven is this. The gift I gave you, you got born again, you did not get delivered, and you did not use the gifts I gave you. She said, I didn't even know I had gifts. How can I pay for a sin I didn't know? Give me a second chance. And God was like, I'll have to think about that one. And then she said, if I don't go back, whatever happens, let me at least see heaven. And she was shown heaven, and she could see. And then she said, let me see my crown. And she was shown it. You know the tire, you know, wheel tire, the tire of the wheel. It was like that. There was nothing, ugly thing. She said, is it my own? I beg you, Father, let me go back. Meanwhile, she was told, I will let you go back on one condition, that I'm a covenant-keeping God. I made a covenant with your mother that she will see your children, as she has only seen one. She was told, now, I'm going to give you 7 gifts. Go back there and tell my people what I've shown you, and testify and seek deliverance from me. And it's the Holy Spirit that can only deliver. You know, when you got born again, there are some things, or there's things in the flesh that you can't do without, that they keep cropping up. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So she came, she said, before she left, she was told, between you and the mother, I'll decide who will come first. And so she came back. She said the mother hadn't told anybody that she was dead. But the mother, after every 2 hours, she would lie on the chest of the woman and say, God, remember the covenant we made. And she came back to life. So after the second child, the mother died. So I'm asking you today, it's serious business. Know what you're doing for God. The gifts you have. Is it gift? She said she came back with a gift of singing. She would tell us the other 6 when they manifest. What has God told you to do? What is he telling you to do? Are you doing it full, you know, wholeheartedly? Or are you waiting for somebody? I'm not the pastor. You know, like when I went before God, I said, you know, they told me to preach. Father, You have not ordained me as a pastor. You have not. But hey, as long as I have the Spirit of God in me, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'll give you another small, I don't know how much time I have, but another story of my first driving instructor. I said to her, I can pray for her because she was coughing. And sure enough, she allowed me to pray with her. When she opened her eyes, she said, there's something in your hands. I said, it's not something in my hands. It's my God. It's my God that is able to do it. So the second time I met her, she was ill. And it was in the school field. We were picking up our children. She had her brother with her. The brother has a turban, you know, sick, and beards. And the brother was standing there waiting to see what we have. And she said, you are praying for me. So she took my hand and said, my stomach has been hurting. She placed it here. Now do your thing. I said, it's not a thing. It's prayer. So I prayed with her. I was like, what will people say? I prayed with her. But I thank God she has faith. She's an Indian. She's a Sikh. But she knows there is a God there that has power. Yes, I haven't told her about the gospel. But I believe in what God is doing. The fact that God healed her the first time, because when I prayed for her the first time, she told me to pray for her daughter. And she said, there's something in your hands. I said, there's nothing. And she will keep looking at my hands. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not so. My own is like, I've done my part. It's the Holy Spirit that will do the rest for her. Amen. And then this Holy Spirit can suspend the laws of nature. For example, Peter was able to walk on water. He is able to do. You know, there are situations you say that you wake up and you're like, I don't know how I did it or how it happened. It must have been God. And sure enough, he's able to do it for us. And then the Bible, and then when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon someone, they become what God wants them to do. That is in Acts 2:2. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he is able to delegate. You know, in the beginning of one, you can have the gift of tongues and I'll have the gift of tongues, but they'll be different. Is it true? The gift of prophecy is called prophecy, but God will use us in different ways. So don't be undermined by somebody's gift. They can sing. You too can sing. They can sing soprano, alto, but use it to the glory of, even if you can't sing. I'm standing here. I've never preached. I hope you're getting it and God is blessing you. So after this encounter, Peter, and you know, it talks about the day of Pentecost, that after the encounter with the Holy Spirit, they went and found a man at the gate of Beautiful. And they said, in the name of Jesus, something they weren't able to raise the dead when Jesus was with them. But at that time, they didn't. That gives me to another story. I'll tell you the last story. There's a pastor called Idahosa, Pastor Idahosa. Pastor Idahosa, he said that when he went to their church, the pastor was preaching about faith, and he said that in these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall raise the dead. So he got the dead. He said, Pastor, you mean I can raise the dead? And pastor said, yes. Me? He said, yes. So he went from 4 o'clock, and from 10 in the morning and 4 o'clock, looking for somebody that was dead in the village. And he found a girl, and he decided, you know, he prayed, nothing happened. He prayed. So he decided that Jesus had sent everybody out. So he told everybody out, and he prayed. The girl came back to life. He says in his life, he raised 3 people. The lady is now, she was giving the testimony. She's a mother, grandmother. She lived. She raised 3 people because of faith. So every time a pastor stands before you and gives the word, what do you do with that word? Do you take it and use it as faith? You know, you use it. You know, the Bible says you've been given a mantle, like Moses. Moses had a bad beginning. I mean, he was a murderer. Maybe he was a thatcher. Maybe he was, you know, the one they said he wasn't planned, but he suddenly came. Ended up in Pharaoh's, you know, temple. Grew up, killed. Went into sort asylum somewhere else. From a priest to, you know, shepherd. And then God did not see that. God will not look at your past. He's not interested in what you did before. He's interested in what you will do to the glory and honor of his name. He's interested in how many people you take out of captivity into eternal life. So don't belittle yourself and say, my God, I can't speak English well. For me, I haven't got a degree. And I keep telling God, you know, wait until. But maybe God has not declared that. Or maybe to be another 50 years. You know, for it for me. My time is, you know, God is faithful. I've done it before, you know, that time. God is faithful. So don't look at your past. Don't look at how short or how big or how he can use any vessel that is available. May we be vessels and to honor to God. And then in Judges 6:14 says, the Holy Spirit gives us the might and power to defeat our enemies. This is the book of Gideon, the story of Gideon, where he was told, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So God is sending us this day. Whether you know it or not, you will stand on judgment day and be told, I sent you. You better start asking the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Some of us are in England, we should be in China. Some of us are in the UK, we should be somewhere else. But have God tell you. Let God send you. Don't be sent by men. Let God himself send you. Well, there'll be, you know, people will come. They will tell you, no, you didn't hear well from God. Learn to hear from God for yourself. Pray for yourself. Regardless, if I come and tell you God said this, learn to test it. Test the spirits. Because the Bible says in the latter days, some will come from the true faith, you know, and mislead. Learn to listen and learn to trust in God. And then in the book of Acts 19, from 11 to 20, 12, 9, Acts 19, 11 to 12, God performed, you know, now God worked usual miracles by the hands of Paul. That's where the handkerchiefs. Do you know that you have power, that your handkerchief can command sickness to leave? Today we were told to command sickness by Pastor David. Command sickness. You have power. You have been given that power. Don't wait for the pastor to come and lay hands on. Practice on your own self, and it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. And then the Ephesians 3:10-18 says, the Holy Spirit gives us strength in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. He makes us to be rooted and grounded in love. Only the Holy Spirit can do that for us. You are grounded in love of God because of God. And then verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that we may be filled with all fullness of God. So we can only know God through the Holy Spirit, know Jesus and God the Father, God the Son through the Holy Spirit. Our own knowledge, our carnal mind cannot begin to comprehend how big God is or how God is or how good he is. Only the Holy Spirit will help us. And he has anointed us to bring good of salvation. That is Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 4. We have been anointed to bring good news. Good news of Jesus is Lord. Whenever everybody is saying go helter, to tell those that don't know God that Jesus, the good news of salvation. And then he quickens our mortal bodies. That is in Romans 8:11. Make it illegal for sickness or disease to dwell in us. So, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, sickness, death, and, you know, sickness and the light of the Holy Spirit cannot go together. And I've been wondering over the years. In the book of Job, we had a conversation between God and Satan. He was like, Satan, where have you been? He was asking permission to torment Job. Then in the book of Matthew, we have a conversation where Satan was tempting Jesus. We've never had a conversation where the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the devil had a conversation. That means because he is holy, he requires us to live holy in holiness and righteousness, without which we cannot see God. So today as you live here, know that without holiness, without righteousness, we cannot serve God, cannot serve the Holy Spirit, and we will not see God in Jesus' name. And then he reveals things to come. In the book of Acts 21, verse 4, so Paul was told not to go. This is, and finding disciple, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit to warn you before disaster comes. I'll give him a very, very, very last, you know. Before I got born again, I wasn't born again. And I attended a conference. And the man of God said that there's somebody here. You have planned to go and do something tomorrow. That was Monday. But God says, don't. And it will. And I felt convicted. But because I wasn't born again, I thought, God cannot be talking to somebody that is not born again. So as planned, I went into a bank. That was in 2000. And I said I wanted a loan. Well, everybody had pressured me and everybody was doing it. I said I want a loan. And the lady asked me how much. They didn't ask me whether I was working. They didn't. So I got a loan of 8,000. And I sent it. I took my tithe and sent it. And I said, God, let me be able to pay off this loan. And I took the loan and I sent the money back home. I sent it to my mother and she was supposed to use 3,000 pounds. Yeah. So it was 6,000 Kenyan shillings then. So 3,000 pounds was she was to give my aunt to buy for me a nice piece of land. And the other she would have used that money to this day. Nobody knows where it is. For 3 years, I never called my mom. Thank be to God I got born again after. But my spiritual life couldn't go beyond what God wanted. Why? Because I had anger issues. What did they do with my man? I said, 3,000 you are to use. My aunt ended up hating me. She said I didn't trust her. But until God saved, you know, what happened after that? I was able to pay it after 8 years. But I lost the job that I was in. And I would go into an agency. And they would ask me, where have you worked? And I would completely go blank. And they said, you have put it in your CV. I struggled for years. But thank God I've been set free. Why? I disobeyed. Because I thought that the Holy Spirit did not see the heart of a sinner or all an unbeliever. God loves everybody. Whether you are born again or not born again, he's just waiting for you to make that commitment. So before I end, if you are here and maybe you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, Pastor will pray for you. Don't leave it until it's too late. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the light of God shine upon your lives in the name of Jesus. May he reveal the desires of his heart into every one of us in the name of Jesus. And may we fulfill our destinies. May we work, you know, according to his will and by his grace. And may our eyes of understanding and our ears be opened to him and to him alone. Let us cultivate that relationship, friendship, and every living soul in this place. Shout hallelujah! Hallelujah. God bless you.